The TSA was expecting to break an all-time record.
It's expecting to screen 28 million people.
TSA expects to screen more than 28 million people.
All right, so that 28 million are going to be screened by TSA, says TSA. AAA says 5.7 million flyers, right?
5.74 million people flying.
Well, so how does that work?
The maths aren't mathing, are they?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Vetrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Eric, along with Mike Spalding, Vince is off today, enjoying the holiday a little bit earlier. My thanks to Debbie Lasga, Jack Crow, and of course Pancake Hill for producing the show today. We do have a very special pancake breakfast before we get out of here at 9 o'clock. Don't usually have them on Wednesdays, but very special July 4th edition of the old pancake breakfast. I am hungry, and you always got to eat breakfast. Hey, something happened on Tuesday that's worth paying attention to. So State Representative Dora Drake won a special primary election. This was for an open state Senate seat left open by Lena Taylor, who is now a judge. And she's going to be running again in the future or whatnot. But that was just, this was part of the deal. They had this special primary. And it was low turnout. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that two observers, one at Bavarian Beer House and one at Good Hope Elementary, were removed by police. Two election observers for getting confrontational with poll workers, just getting into the space there and being warned, hey, you're getting too close, you're causing too much trouble, eventually where they had to call the police and get these poll workers removed. Brian Kennedy is the mayor of Glendale, and he joins us on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. So, Mr. Mayor, what happened here? We had poll workers being... We had observers basically getting in the way of their jobs, preventing them from being able to do what they needed to do?
Absolutely. And it's not, these aren't unknown people either. So these are known instigators. We had a group that come in, all of them from outside of Milwaukee County. They registered as GOP or Concerned Citizen or other sort of alt-right groups. Like one person registered saying they were with the Traditionalist Party, which we know to be an alt-right neo-Nazi group. Another person said they were with Hot Government, which is also another right-wing group. And at first they were sort of coordinating with each other between the three polling places, texting back and forth. There was a person who was kind of overseeing and coordinating their efforts. And then they started into challenging every single absentee vote. They got too close to the table. They're supposed to stay 3 feet back. They started lodging complaints about essentially anything and everything, not just the criteria that the state has determined are challengeable criteria for an absentee ballot. The chief election inspector at each location told them multiple times, you need to step back. You need to not disrupt the process. You may have obviously had the right to challenge, but you don't have the right to be disruptive. You don't have the right to raise your voice at our poll workers, et cetera. And after multiple times, eventually the person at Good Hope and the chief election inspector at Good Hope and the chief election inspector at Bavarian called the police, and the police came. And the folks, once the police got there, they did, you know, they voluntarily left, but they didn't until the police arrived.
So, Brian, this was done during a smaller election, as Eric mentioned, and a special primary. Are you concerned at all now that we've gone through this once, that come November or a more high-profile election, we could see something similar? And I guess on the back end of that question, what happens if that is going to be the case?
So I believe it's a test run for what we're going to see happen in November. Keep in mind that yesterday's special election was only a Democratic primary in an overwhelmingly gerrymandered district that was drawn by the Republicans in the state legislature to pack about 85% Democrats into this district. And when Evers' maps got passed, they didn't change this district because it's an overwhelmingly African-American district, so they didn't want to have any Voting Rights Act concerns. So this district only had two Democrats on the ballot. That means everybody who was casting a ballot yesterday was casting a ballot in a Democratic primary. To have these GOP operatives, these MAGA folks come out and start to contest and try to disenfranchise Democrats from voting, I believe that is absolutely what we're going to see happen in November. Keep in mind that none of them who registered were from Milwaukee County. Most of them were from Racine County. They came up here just to cause problems. And like I said, some of these are known actors. These are people that we know who they are. You know, Peter Bernegger, who registered with the Traditionalist Party, he's filed dozens of lawsuits alleging that absentee balloting essentially in Wisconsin is fraudulent, many of them thrown out of court. Harry Waite was one of the people who registered. He has been charged with illegally requesting absentee ballots in other people's names. So these are known actors who are instigators who want to cause problems. And I think we're going to see a lot more of these come November.
Well, there's a difference, too. I guess one could argue, right, Mr. Mayor, that there's a difference between wanting to cause problems and then actually finding a problem. How do you go about ensuring that the election runs smoothly so none of this becomes an issue?
So across this state, we have phenomenal municipal clerks. We have Republicans, Democrats, and independents who show up to be poll workers. They go through trainings. What we have found election after election, despite all of Donald Trump's attempts to claim that elections are fraudulent, we saw recounts in Milwaukee County. We saw recounts in Dane County in 2020, and those results held up. There were basically no difference between what was happening on election day and what we saw from the recounts. We know that our poll workers do their job. We know that elections are fair. They are just. They're equitable, that people are guaranteed their right to vote in the state. And what we see are people who know they can't win unless they try to disenfranchise other people, unless they cause problems, unless they intimidate black and brown voters from turning out to the polls. Intimidate Democrats, make them afraid that their absentee ballots are going to be thrown out. I mean, that's not what we want to see, but I believe that's what Donald Trump and his MAGA followers are going to do in November.
What is your intention in November? Is there any changes that Glendale can prepare for or help with what the poll workers are going to be doing with? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of attention and a lot of people voting.
So yesterday, our chief election inspectors who were trained in conflict resolution, they did a fantastic job. They were calm. They just repeatedly told the people, this is what you're allowed to do. This is what you're not allowed to do. I need you to step back. You need to follow the rules. And they were very calm. They just asked them to be to follow the rules as well. When they didn't, they just called the police calmly, asked the police to come out. The police and the city clerk went to those locations together. And, when the police arrived, the folks said, okay, fine, I'll leave. And then, each of the individuals that left those two polling places left on their own, but they waited until the police got there. So we'll be prepared to do the same thing in November. I suspect we're going to see a lot more election observers. One of the things we really didn't see much of yesterday were folks from the Democratic Party or the League of Women Voters. I suspect we're going to see them and probably some other groups that are going to turn out and be more present in future elections, just because the observers who are there should be balanced. It shouldn't all be just one side who's coming to cause problems.
Glendale Mayor Brian Kennedy on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Yep, no problem. Happy to be here.
The mayor joining us as we follow this story out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that two observers, one at the Bavarian Beer House and one at Good Hope Elementary, were removed by police because of confrontation with the poll workers.
And there are reasons, legitimate reasons, why a ballot can be challenged, though it doesn't seem like those were brought up yesterday. But for an instance or for an example, to challenge a ballot, it must be based on personal knowledge or suspicion that the person trying to vote isn't eligible based on six reasons that do include not being a citizen or not being at least 18 years old. So there are legitimate reasons, and I expect we'll see more challenges to ballots. Now, I do think your message is lost a little bit when you're challenging every single one, and it looks more trolly than anything else. And that's another thing, too, Eric, I think to keep an eye on as we move towards November is – who's going to be allowed to be here? Are we going to see changes, maybe not at a federal level, but could the State Elections Commission then look at it? We have, primary elections coming up this year. If they get out of hand, could we see further changes come November?
What's in a number? I love these holiday travel stories that come out. They're clockwork. It happens every time it's a holiday weekend. You get the stories of what AAA is projecting, and it just picks a number. And then you never know if that number was actually accurate or not, but they just throw a number out there of the number of people that are traveling, the number of Americans that are going to be on the roads.
This is going to be the busiest and biggest July 4th in terms of travel that we've ever seen.
AAA predicts 71 million Americans will travel over the 4th of July holiday.
Nearly 71 million people traveling the whole week.
Yeah, how many?
An estimated 71 million Americans.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. So 71 million Americans will be traveling. A lot of them will be driving. So then you have the stories about, okay, well, if you're driving, you better be prepared that there'll be other cars on the road.
You want to make sure you give yourself plenty of time. And you know what? I always like to bring an emergency kit with me, and I've got snacks and water. I make sure that I leave with a full tank.
I must always have an emergency kit with me then. It's snacks and water. Yeah, so it's important. Thank you, Alexis. You got to give yourself plenty of time to get to your destination.
And make sure your tire pressure is good.
Yeah, you should really check your tire pressure as well if you're going someplace. So we get that. So AAA says 71 million. That's the number we heard. Then there's more detail.
We're projecting a record number of road trippers, 60.6 million people driving over the July 4th holiday, and 5.74 million people flying. And that is also a new record.
So 5.7 million of that 71 million is going to be flying, give or take a half a million. So a lot of people will be flying, apparently. And when you have a lot of people flying, that means TSA. TSA.
Now, if you're flying, you already know the drill. It means arrive earlier than normal, expect longer bag lines, and crowded TSA checkpoints.
The TSA was expecting to break an all-time record.
It's expecting to screen 28 million people.
TSA expects to screen more than 28 million people.
All right, so that 28 million are going to be screened by TSA, says TSA. AAA says 5.7 million flyers, right?
5.74 million people flying.
Well, so how does that work?
The maths aren't mathing, are they?
Something, and this is out of the 81 million or 77 million that will be doing some type of movement this weekend. So there's always these stories where they just need something to say, really. And we're all reading these press releases. 77 million here and 5.7 million there and 81 million there total. And then, of course, there's this story.
A shortage of air traffic controllers caused big problems.
Uh-oh, air traffic controllers. Then you have the gas prices stories. So, yes, it's going to be a busy travel time. Let's just put it at that. There's going to be people traveling. That's what happens on a holiday. Doesn't matter if there's 77 million or 75 million. You can just anticipate you'll see others on the road as well.
And make sure your tire pressure is good. That can also help with saving on gas.
Wisconsin's Morning News. Vince Vetrano is back Monday. Eric Bilstead along with Mike Spaulding. You heard Debbie. We have a Greg Pancake Hill breakfast coming up. It's always breakfast, even if it's not Friday. Wanted to bring this to you. John Mercure and I put this piece together years ago. This is like a decade ago, and it's amazing. It's about July 4th, and it's so interesting how apropos it is still now, 10 years later. So take a listen.
It's perhaps the most recognizable date in our nation's history, July 4th, 1776, the birth of our fine country.
First, it's important to remember that Congress had actually declared independence on July 2nd.
Oh.
That declaration forms the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence that we think of and that was passed by Congress on July 4th.
Charles Cohen is a history and religious studies professor at UW-Madison.
So, in one sense, the real Independence Day, as John Adams wrote to his wife the next day, was July 2nd, not the 4th.
Was there any debate about that?
That's an interesting question, because declaring independence is one thing, winning it was another. There was a war going on.
There was, as a matter of fact, a war that wouldn't be settled for 7 years.
Congress, and especially after they were chased out of Philadelphia the next year by the British Army, didn't have a lot of time to debate which day should be celebrated. That we have come to celebrate July 4th says something about the reading of the Declaration of Independence itself, and its place in our history.
So there weren't any fireworks on July 4th, 1777.
Well, it's hard to know. Momentum, if you will, builds slowly. Of course, there were great celebrations when the war was over. But we would be mistaken to think that in 1777, everyone just said, oh, well, it's Independence Day. Let's run outside and, you know, fry some venison.
And, believe it or not, gaining our independence was polarizing.
Were all Americans in favor of this? Was everybody waving flags and thinking this was a good idea to break away from England, or was it a contentious situation?
No, of course there were disputes. Perhaps 20% of the population overall were loyalist, particularly in the middle colonies. A large number, indeterminate, but they're there, are people who, you know, could go one way or the other. There was never unanimity.
Even in the idealistic days when our nation was born, not all Americans were on the same page. Then, like now, political disagreement was part of our collective DNA. But then again, that disagreement is part of what makes America, America, the nation we love.
Pancake Breakfast is next. We usually do it on Friday, but today's a special occasion. With July 4th tomorrow, we have a very special edition, a holiday version, you could say, of Greg's Pancake Breakfast.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
All I want is a hot dog. All I want is a hot dog. Not a tofu dog, a hot dog.
Doggone it. There's a new dog in this fight. Ready, set, eat hot dogs. Those are all real opening lines to real articles that are written about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Happening tomorrow, by the way.
That's,
I know,
right.
Snuck up on us. Before we even continue with this story, we need the top dog of MCs, if you will, George Shea, to set the tone.
Folks, it is time. It is time. Are you ready to sip from the volcano? To ride the tornado? To make love to the dragon? Are you ready?
Yeah. We've come to the most wonderful time of the year. Individuals all across the country gather on the 4th of July to watch the novelty that is human beings gorging themselves to eat as many hot dogs,
yes,
and hot dog buns as they can in 10 minutes. Now, what has been an eating off-season slathered in controversy, with the biggest story being that you will not hear this intro this year.
The number one eater in the world, I give you America itself, Joey Chestnut!
Because of an endorsement with Impossible Foods, Chestnut has been banned,
that's right,
from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest and will not be competing this year. And in the spirit of eating, I'll eat my crow here a little bit. I was saying that he'll definitely compete because I thought this was a big ploy for some WWE-esque re-entry, mm-hmm, into the competition just to hype the event, as if the event needs any more hyping to do. But it looks like he is officially out. So what do we do? Why would you care? Why would you even watch this event? By the end of this segment, I'm going to tell you why you should watch this event, okay? Although we aren't guaranteed at least 60 dogs downed in 10 minutes, so you have that to look forward to, I tell you that this year is going to be the most electric year ever. And why is that? Well, because there isn't a clear winner. This guy isn't going to come in and sweep the competition. This name might sound familiar to you. The next favorite is Jeffrey Esper.
Espy! Old Esper is going to wolf down some dogs.
Yeah, he is.
That's right.
Thank you, Mark Tauscher. Talk about always a bridesmaid, never a bride, this guy. Esper has been a runner-up to Joey Chestnut the past 3 years. Espy had this breakaway quote about the competition this year. Are you ready for it? He said, yeah, I definitely have a shot this year.
Are you ready to make love to the dragon?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
This is his moment. This is Espy's moment.
We're still talking about hot dogs?
However, Esper was running up to Chestnut last year. He housed 49, count of 49 hot dogs. Good for second place, by the way.
Only
second place. Third place was James Webb at 47 hot dogs. Fourth place was another contestant at 45 hot dogs, which means between second and fourth place, that's a four-dog difference.
Fantastic.
This is not a clear favorite, people. This is going to be some dog-to-dog moments, so to speak, if that's the official term.
A dog fight.
There it is. Come on, I was right there. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you covering me for me. So if you're a betting individual, Esper is nearly the favorite. That's James Webb is in second place, and Nick Weary, he's the guy that gets fourth place every year. He has a plus 550 to win. But some sites have him as high as plus 1,500. So if you don't speak sports betting, that means if you bet $100 and this cat wins, you walk away with $1,500.
I wonder why that is. We must not know something about his condition or something. Maybe he was already in an eating competition earlier this week.
Anyway, you think so? Yes, because that's the kind of analytics that are going into something like this. Do you think there's like a hot dog eating reference page a la a baseball reference and you can type in stats or something like that?
Get the analytics.
Listen, we got bettors. This was from Fox Sports, those stats. We have bettors on it. So, yes, the gluttony of people watching hot dogs down them at a record speed can be a little off-putting while we constantly fight hunger challenges and access to food. However, there is also a philanthropic note. Nathan's is donating 100,000, count them, 100,000 hot dogs to New York City's food bank. So after all that, will you now finally be watching? Although I know you've watched in the past. Are you going to watch this year's hot dog eating contest tomorrow on ESPN?
I have to now.
Because of solely what I said? I'll take full credit for that.
And if I see you carrying some cash around, I know that you'll throw some money down.
I tell you, you know what? This Nick Weary bet guy, it sounds enticing. Imagine winning $1,600 because you bet on the hot dog eating contest and you came out a winner. I'll see you at Pato.
TMJ W277CV and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Campaigning. Your comfort is their family's tradition. All right, so I'm going to read the email from meteorologist Brendan Johnson about tomorrow. So everyone's talking about fireworks and different celebrations for July 4th. So tonight looks good. Today is going to be hot and humid, be your typical July day. Tonight looks good for the fireworks that are taking place. Menominee Falls has them, maybe a couple other places, but definitely the falls tonight. They got the parade too. But here's what Brendan says about July 4th. The 4th of July forecast is unsettled across much of the Midwest, but looks mainly dry across southeast Wisconsin through the morning hours. As daytime heating takes hold, there is a slight chance for a few pop-up showers and storms in the afternoon and early evening tomorrow. Highs may only top out in the lower 80s with clouds around. Rain chances increase later Thursday night and into early Friday morning. Scattered showers and storms more likely on Friday. So it sounds like Friday could be a wash a bit at times. But tomorrow, there's a slight chance for a few pop-up showers and storms in the afternoon and early evening. So it's something just to be mindful of as you celebrate our country's independence. Have a wonderful, safe Independence Day. We'll see you on the other side.
On the 4th of July, everybody's All-American, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
Sorry, I don't have any fireworks to light off or anything. I got all this stuff built up inside.
Oh, I got some fireworks for you.